following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the Rad Rob Radio Network. Welcome to RTW Rewind. Rad Rob will take you on a journey through time to relive some of the greatest moments, matches, and personalities from the sport of professional wrestling. Now, here's your host of the show, Rad Rob, Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to RTW Rewind. This is day 5 of Rad Mania 3. 7 days of unique shows leading up until this weekend's WrestleMania 30 fucking something. I don't even know what we're on anymore, but it's again too big for just one night. That's what she said. For the second time in a row, we have a double main or a double shot of WrestleMania on Saturday and Sunday. Ben, I know you're a huge fan of the current product from all the shows at HMG. So are you looking forward to two nights of WrestleMania?
I can't get enough of it, man. More WrestleMania. Let's not even stop. Let's just start on Saturday and go 24 hours all the way to the end. We'll get everybody from Evolve can get a match. It'll have NXT matches. So by the time you get to the main event, it really won't mean shit. But I'm looking forward to talking some classic wrestling here today with you, Rad Rob. Appreciate you having me back on. I appreciate everybody listening on HMG, Russo, Brandon, and enjoying WrestleMania with your family, your bros, your sis, whoever it is, man, that hopefully you can have a little bit of fun, have a couple drinks, have some shitty food, and watch some people get beat down, man. But glad to be back with you, Briz.
Yeah, it's good to have you here, man. And, I brought this up to you a few weeks ago. I really want to break down the Mega Powers angle from a worker standpoint, from a perspective that you would have, from being in the business. And, you thought it was a great idea. You mentioned it to Sill. Sill even mentioned that's his favorite angle. So, a lot of people will agree that this is probably one of the greatest wrestling angles of all time.
I can't disagree with that. Not one of my favorites, though. So I will have some things to say because, during this time, 88, I was way more into the mid-card. And I was just Hogan'd out and macho'd out. And I really can't. I'm not now. I mean, rest in peace. But at that time, as a fan, I couldn't stand Miss Elizabeth. I know her purpose, but the demure, underacting that was while these guys are larger than life, I thought she was just shitty all the time, and would take the, and that's what she's supposed to be, the damsel in distress taking the bump. But it was just all this little pretty, it encompassed everything 1980s that I really didn't like douchebag culture, classism of the cool guys versus the not cool guys getting the top spots and being over, these girls that were pageants and pageant queens that were right out of some shit that was out of 1920s in my opinion, the demure, whatever it's supposed to be, proper and whatnot. So the players in this, I can look at it a certain way and go, obviously Hogan was the major top draw. And I was into this storyline as a kid at how old was I? 11, 12 years old. Yeah. To be what it is, but I was still more about Jake the Snake. And I liked the heels a lot more because I was an Andre the Giant guy. I liked Million Dollar Man with the basketball kick. I liked all that shit. So, I was fine. I'm almost fine with Hogan and Macho being in the same thing because now I don't have to watch their segments separately and I get to watch Mr. Perfect do his thing. But as far as a money draw goes, bro, this is humongous. And there's even parts that I think they left money on the table by not doing a couple tweaks along the way where they could have got all the way back to SummerSlam again in 89 from 88 to 89 and really paid it off in a different way. But obviously this goes down, just with a handshake to show what two big baby faces, that if you make them both individually, what you can get to pop the crowd. And I'm surprised they haven't retried to do this in a new way, with some players, but nobody's over enough to do it. You really need a John Cena and The Rock kind of coming together to be able to do that, but they haven't nearly made a babyface as big as these two guys in at least 15 years.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, they did it kind of with heels, and they did it with with Steve Austin and Triple H, you know, the two-man power trip and all that, but obviously they're on a different side.
Who even references that? Like, that's right. That's so out of my mind and not even like, even in the same category as this, bro. It doesn't even come close.
Yeah, I was just thinking of two of the bigger stars that they tried to, you know, to put together.
Sure.
But you're right. There nothing topped Hulk Hogan and Macho Man at this time. And you're right. It all started with a handshake, and the crowd, you know, they ate it up. I mean, it was the biggest thing going for a year. And
it didn't start with a handshake. It started with heels getting heat on top baby faces individually to force the bond between them.
True.
You know, that's so true. You can't make it even at the highest level. Mm-hmm. And this is Al Snow 101 as I smash everything. you have to put heat on your heel. You make your baby off your heel. Now, both these guys were made baby faces, so you could have put them together. But it's the initial heat on them individually and the Heenan family being so strong that drove them together to make that point. So if they just would have come together without that heat, it would have been not as hot of an angle right out of the gate. So really, this is about Million Dollar Man. This is about Andre the Giant and about the Heenan family first getting their heat on them individually.
See, that's why I'm glad you're here, because you get to break it down from a point that I don't see myself, because you're on a different level. I mean, you have a different perspective than I do.
I mean, this is a basic of wrestling, and tattoo it on yourself. And I took this from Al. You put heat on your heel, you make your baby off your heel. So that means if I go out and cut the promo and I've got everybody USA and FU camel jockey and all this other shit, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter because I've got my heat now. It don't matter, Rob, if it's you coming out, who's going to shut him up? It's Rad Rob. Fuck yeah, we love Rad Rob. You know, it's Grandma. Kick his ass, Grandma. You know, it don't matter who it is, who you send out. But I have to go out first to get my heat. That's why heels usually enter first, unless you're the champion, because that it helps the baby face get a bigger pop right out of the gate. It doesn't matter who you send out. So if I go out there and cut the promo to shut me up, whoever's coming out, they're going to love them no matter what.
There you go. I mean, that's and you're right. That is the very basics of ring psychology when it comes
and to. And they mess that up all the time. We have baby faces getting heel heat on Raw every week.
Yeah.
Dumb shit that leaves the audience going, because they're not even doing rule one, the basics, right? And that kills me because Adam Pearce is there. He knows it. Pat Buck is there, and Al Snow guy through and through and runs WrestlePro. He knows it. Like all these dudes, and we're not even sticking to what is 1,000 times since the beginning of man's storytelling time. Like these tropes have been true. That's why movies usually start out with an inciting incident where you see the heel doing something dastardly. And then we have that established, and then we start our hero's journey from there. But we have to establish our heel out of the gate, and obviously with Heenan, Million Dollar Man, and Andre, we have that.
Yeah,
the Young Bucks, the Mega Bucks.
The Mega Bucks. Yeah, you're right. I mean, like the Dark Knight, you know, you see the Joker come in and robbing the bank and you know, taking over, and then that sets the tone for the entire movie. So, yeah.
Even just in Justice League, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see them show up, and there's the dudes who are going to do the bomb. You get Wonder Woman over. You get them over off these heels doing dastardly things. But we need to have that inciting incident, and the more stronger it is, then the stronger the response is going to be.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first kind of coming together of the Mega Powers, the Macho Man Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan, was WrestleMania 4. Prior to that, Hulk Hogan had lost the title to Andre the Giant through some shady tactics by the Hebner twins, which I'll never forget. I mean, you want to talk about, like, and you can only do that once, obviously. And the fact that it was live and they were able to pull it off, I mean, that's a pretty big thing that it kind of got pulled off without a hitch. You know, that, and they claimed that was the most watched event in American history.
Really? I didn't know that, but
you
know, that was a big moment. His wrestling was in the, well, you hear people, well, it's fake, but it didn't matter because the pageantry and the larger-than-life characters were just so everything that was 80s, whether it was hair bands that I fucking hated. That's what put me onto hip hop, you know, like all that. Like, I have to have a Trans Am and we have cars that talk to us and Knight Rider and all this shit. So it fit perfectly in the time, you know, and that WrestleMania moment with pulling the switch, people like you could do that in the South on a spot show and, you know, town to town to town to town and no one would ever know it. But to see it on TV for the first time is a big ooh and ah. Now we've seen the Vianos and we've seen Bella Magic and we've seen whatever since then. But no, that was the right switch because it was right at the stakes at the highest point. You know what I mean? So,
I mean, you had the rematch from WrestleMania 3 with Hogan and Andre on free television, which a lot, you know, people could argue if that was a good idea or not. But I mean,
I think it was because it set this angle in motion. Like, that's the thing. That's the inciting incident. That is the what?
The catalyst?
The heat. No, you're right. It is the catalyst. Yeah. But in the wrestling world, we say there's the heat.
Yeah.
Now, from there, we build out of WrestleMania through July, all of this with them uniting and having a reason to battle that heat because they know they can't win individually.
Yeah. Right. So when Hulk Hogan was stripped of the title, it was put in a tournament for WrestleMania 4, as everybody knows. And I guess the reasoning behind all this, for a little backstory, is the fact that Hulk Hogan was going off to shoot No Holds Barred, and they obviously needed a new champion. And, you know, WWF being a typical babyface champion territory, they put it on the second biggest guy that they had, and that was the Macho Man. Do you think it was the right decision to put the belt on him initially?
Out of a tournament, I don't know. I like this can be debated because it works. I mean, it's not the worst choice by any means. And you want to make a new babyface champ, so you got to make them, you know. But I don't like making babyface champs out of a tournament, even though it came down to a heel and a baby in the end. I like the heel going over because it's always better to have your guy's character arc climbing the mountain to do that. And then having the heel win it, so he has to then overcome the heel. But you got him to the top of the mountain. Now there's another battle out of there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When we were just doing Derby City Wrestling, the Insurgency were the first champions, and we held it for a year so we could then establish all the baby faces in the company of who they liked and who they wanted. And these guys are all vying for. So when we finally take a dive, it's because all these babies are made. And now we have a whole spectrum of higher level players. Because if it was just the baby, one baby on top, now all the baby faces underneath them are just mid-card guys. Whereas if they step up and they get close to beating the Insurgency or they get close to beating the Megabucks, well, then there's a couple dudes, but no one's gotten there, but they've all tried and they're all elevated. Who's gonna do it? Who's gonna be the top dude? So, you know, they might have had 1,000 reasons for putting it on Macho right there and just making the baby face, because at that time, if you had the belt, it really meant something. Yeah. You know, so there's different ways to look at it, you know, and I'm sure they have logics that are on a different level than mine even. But I like the heel to be the champ and be unseated first, because you can make your whole roster off that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather see a babyface chase for several months rather
always
than,
you know, Austin's always better on the chase than he was champion.
Yeah, absolutely. But obviously, I'm assuming the reason they did that was because they had this whole payoff in mind, you know, for the year-long angle. You know, to pay it off with Hulk Hogan coming back and taking his title back. But had DiBiase won that tournament, you know, he could have defended it for several months until Hulk was ready to come back. And then eventually Hulk would have got his revenge on DiBiase and not Macho Man. So, I mean, it could have gone that way, too. I guess there really was no big payoff between what DiBiase did to Hogan, right?
Right. So there's that. That's one thing that we missed right there. And I can come back into it later, but I'm the other money, and I was thinking of what you just said right there, so bravo to you. But the other part of that is they never put the tag titles on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why would you have an unbelievable tag team, one guy's champ, just to go up against in a heat feud, which I like because neither of these guys need to have the belt because they're both over. But if they're that good, why wouldn't you give them a year run as tag champions too?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And they could have even lost them eventually to Twin Towers. You know,
they should have. So, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. They gotcha. They break up. They have that. And the heels go back over. They spin out. And then you have a new babyface tag team like Roma and Santana, a Strike Force or somebody like that. You know what I mean? That you got coming up to take them off of the Twin Towers. So we missed two big pieces of business that were money draw business out of this. But I mean, it's still a legendary feud that you're getting 90-95% out of, but there was still some money left on the table.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different branching arcs of the storyline that could have gone. It could have benefited all the boys at that point.
Absolutely.
You know, getting the rub from everybody, you know, 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah, but everybody's coked up and on gas and wanting to bang rats. So, like, yeah. the storyline is down, you know, on the list of what's going on.
Now, regarding WrestleMania 4, when Macho Man did get the win, he got help from Hulk Hogan. Did that kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say tarnish his win? Does it really tarnish his win because he had to win with the help of Hulk Hogan?
He's an equalizer to equalize the babies to set up the moment. I don't think it tarnishes his win. It lays the groundwork for the future of, like, these guys could work together and I can see it. And Macho does that very well in a look. He's so meticulous. And I think there is a look in there where he's like, what are you helping me for, brother? And mm-hmm. I'm not mad, but like, oh, okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To me, it's that Han Solo, you're all clear, kid. And he takes the shot at the Death Star, right? To clear Luke Skywalker's way. You don't look at Han Solo and go, what a greedy fucker.
right.
But you know, it was kind of that's how I liken that moment. But then on the, I think it's New Year's Eve, 88, 89, going into 89.
Yeah.
They win. Mega Powers go over right after. This is a match after Survivor Series. But Mega Powers up. And then Hogan grabs Miss Elizabeth. She's in a red dress and like lifts her up to hug her. And it's just a celebratory thing. It's not a sexual thing. But Macho and him have been on the same side until that point. Macho just looks at him quick of like, what the fuck are you doing? And he puts her down, and Hogan's not even selling that, but like you get to see 2 seconds of Macho being like, that's, I don't know if I like that. You know what I mean, brother? Are you picking her up? And that's enough to drop the pebble in the pond. And the best acting we do is when we say nothing at all. And they caught him on camera. That's him, Iggy and the camera guy, him fucking saying to Vince, after when he picks her up, make sure you get a shot of me being like, what the fuck? That just doesn't happen out of nowhere. That's very high level production, acting, and in the moment stuff to catch it, to make that reality at that time in the 80s that we do not even come close to in 2021, bro. Doesn't even come close. So, a guy like Killer Cross could do that with Scarlett, I believe. Yep. But there's very few and far between who are playing at that high level. And Macho was, and he's such a obsessive compulsive person that I know that he, the way he walks through things, every bit of that was in his head, played out to tell the bigger story. So I really liked those little moments when I went back and watched and was like, huh. And I remember it from when I was a kid too. Yeah. But as a work, I was only 12, 13. I'm not thinking with a worker mentality. So, you know, I really like those things where I wish we could get back to, because you can't get to that point of high level play if you don't build the moment the right way all the way just to get that little, those are the really nice trimmings and whatnot in the, that you can do in the, when it's all built the right way. If we don't build anything the right way, we're never going to get to that point to be allowed to perform at that level.
You're right. And Macho Man was on such a higher level than most people, honestly. You know, I thought Hulk Hogan was cheesy and hokey and playing up the, you know, eat your vitamins, say your prayers, brother. Mm-hmm. And Macho Man was more real. He was more realistic. And, you know, it was an extension of his character.
You hear that from everybody, you know, backstage, and that it might have hurt him, what have you. But in this, you know, pun intended and not intended, but with all genius, there's madness.
Yeah.
The people who are the best at something usually have some social disorder where they can't relate to people in a certain way, or they're highly paranoid, or they're, you know, what have you, and they're great in their own field of what they apply themselves to, but they also are missing a little something that's normal upstairs. And that's why we love people like that, because we want to be able to live openly and emotionally and whatnot. But, you know, that's why he was so great at what he did, bro. And I'm honored and proud to get a fair amount of that knowledge from Lenny Poffo, I've worked with, but the Poffo family, because Rip Rogers was Macho's best friend all through IWC, mm-hmm. and Rip's my trainer. So a lot of what I learned from Rip is handed down from Macho and Angelo Poffo and other people who helped train Rip, you know, Adrian Street and all those guys.
Yeah. I mean, that's a cool thing. I mean, who better to learn from than somebody like Rip, you know, who's learned from the best himself. And mm-hmm. you're right, Macho Man was a savant, you know, or you can call him a genius, you know, and you're right. They're so smart in one particular area. Well, the social skills obviously kind of didn't apply to Macho Man. I mean, Jim Ross even told the story of calling Randy in for pre-tapes on a weekend. And Randy getting really pissed off and grabbing Jim Ross by the throat and pointing his finger at his face saying, "Who put you up to this, huh? Who told, what are you trying to do to me, Jim?" You know, and Gorilla Monsoon ended up showing up and saving him because he probably would have choked Jim Ross out. But Gorilla says, "The boys are working you, Randy. You know, the boys are working you." He thought Jim was fucking with him because he's this big star and he's already established and he's over. Why is he coming in on a weekend to do fucking pre-tapes?
Could be. He might not be wrong. Dude, they're fucking with people nonstop. They fuck with Braun nonstop. I just listened to Big Show on Jericho, and like he might go and say, "Oh, I enjoyed my time," and give the political answer of the sheets. But then he goes on Jericho Show and spills the beans of, "Oh, dude, you're too fat and you smoke cigarettes. Okay, quit smoking cigarettes and I get a six pack. I'm a giant. Yeah. Eh, you're not that over. We're going to use you in comedy." Like, they fuck with people all the time. It hasn't changed. So Macho isn't wrong in that paranoia. However, if you're dealing with an obsessive compulsive cocaine addict who's already paranoid, those fucking things are only going to get tuned up. Now, is it right to grab JR by the throat when you're a gassed up wrestler? Absolutely not. And I'm glad Gorilla came in to fuck with him, but to like regulate. But Mach isn't wrong. I bet they were fucking with him, calling him in on the weekends. And Macho knows too. Like, that's the other thing with Miss Elizabeth as a worker, where he'd be like, "I lock her in the fucking dressing room for 6 hours so none of the boys could talk to her." Because even in now, the rule still is you don't bring your wife around the business, because play pussy get fucked around here. Like, dudes are going to try and bang your wife out. And I don't give a shit if it's, you know, Brock Lesnar taking Sable or, you know, there's Deborah and Austin and all that shit, dude. Like, one after woman, you know, like it's a tale as old as time. So Macho's crazy reaction of locking this little demure girl up in a prison most of the time and treat her like that abusively, I don't doubt it. Like, mental abuse of like, "Don't look at him. Don't look at him at all," and shit like that. But he should also know is you don't bring your lady around the fucking, you know, around that, around the boys. One quick run in here. Stevie Richards, how's it going? I'm on with Rad Rob right now talking the mega powers. Anything you want to add?
I wish my mega power was to go back in time and not watch the first episode of AEW Elevation.
Well, SmackDown wasn't much better. So if you got that on the agenda, you're in for a long weekend, bro.
I'm trying to look. And he's chicken and broccoli better. I think I'm gonna get more out of that than watching any wrestling.
Awesome. I'll give you a shout back as soon as we're done in about an hour. Is that cool?
Sure. I'm just gonna throw my computer out the window so I can never watch that YouTube channel again.
Okay. Well, I mean, if you go down to Goodwill for the next hour, maybe you can find a pair of Russo shoes and you guys can have matching kicks, man. I think that'd be the way to go.
Well, here's your problem. $8. So
I know, man. He knows what's up. But I'll give you a shout back just a little while. All right, bro.
All right.
Yeah. Later, man. There you go. Dancing Stevie Richards joining us here quick.
That poor guy, man. I feel bad for him having to sit through that bullshit.
Yeah, I don't know why he put himself through that, but because it's not something we have to review.
You know, I forgot where we were. So
no, we were talked. I was burying Miss Elizabeth and Macho Man.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, he gets a bad rap for doing that. And, you know, he's controlling, he's egomaniacal. Yeah, but no, but you're right. I mean, he should. It's the wrestling business. And people that don't know the inner workings. I mean, look at Candido and Sonny. I mean, Sonny ended up screwing half the roster, right?
Yeah, she was with him blowing Shawn Michaels and banging Brett. I mean,
yeah.
For pills, you know, like that's what, and that's the aftermath of this era. Imagine what these guys were doing, Snuka and, you know, everybody, bro. So it was a big party, and Macho's paranoia leads him to mental abuse and that. But at the same time, Miss Elizabeth was, even though it wasn't my cup of tea, was way over as that little debutante. That was the word I was looking for earlier. It's like the debutante at a dance, you know what I mean? And now she's with this big jacked up guy out of nowhere. It kind of doesn't work. If anything, you want an A player and a B player, and the B player to support the A player's persona. So if anything, he would have been better with a Macho Madness woman who was just as crazy as he was, as opposed to this little princess that it never felt right to me, bro.
Well, I was going to bring it up later, but you make a good point there. That's why I liked him as a heel and having Sherry with him as a manager, because
100%
the two were batshit crazy. But I mean, she was so good at putting him over.
You got it 100%, Rob. To me, she was 1,000 times better than Elizabeth ever was. Even Miss Madness. That was like a reinvention of Miss Elizabeth, but at least she was like Pam Anderson sexy. Right. Like Miss Elizabeth was the embodiment of big hair, Aquanet bullshit that I hated, bro. Like the gowns and like the not sexy stuff, you know what I mean? Like it was like trying to hold on to something from yesteryear, and I just never liked it.
It's almost like bringing your sister to work day, you know what I mean?
It kind of is, bro.
Yeah. But I mean, she was hot though. I mean, she was a gorgeous.
Like, not to me, man.
Really? You didn't think she was beautiful?
I like busty, curvy girls, and I still do. And I'm like little frail things like that are the mirror, like Babe in the Woods. I'm like, I like strong women, man. I'm not down with that.
She was, well, I liked her better in WCW when she joined NWO and got the bigger gimmicks. So, I mean, that was.
She was kind of sexy and whatnot there and like MILF-like. I agree. Yeah. That was the most personality we ever got to see from her. But she was also playing the part she was told to. And that's just growing up in the 80s. And if you're a kid of the 90s and 2000s, you're probably not going to understand it fully of how the culture was. Because in the 90s, we hit a renaissance period. Club MTV, strippers, you know, everywhere. Yeah. Dance and all that.
Shotgun Saturday Night from Webster Hall.
Yeah. All that shit. And she was on the cusp of some Leave It to Beaver leftover, you know what I mean? Like,
no, it's true. She was regal. It was a splendor. It was, you know, her changing dresses each match of WrestleMania. And
so, if you were 20 to 30 years old of age in the 80s, I could see where that'd be your shit because there's a holdover from that level. But if you're an 80s kid where things are changing and we're seeing this sexuality kind of come in, I don't know. I just wasn't down.
Yeah, no.
I hate to be so negative on him, but like, you know, she drew millions and millions of dollars, and people know who she is 1,000 times more than they know me.
No, but it's all subjective. I mean, that's your opinion. Sure. That's you know, everybody has their own likes and dislikes, and it's cool to get a differing opinion because, you know, a lot of people I talk to about it don't have that opinion. I mean, most people, you know, loved her or loved the angle and loved Macho Man and Hogan. You're either a Macho Maniac or a Hulkamaniac, whichever. But it's good to get a refreshing opinion like yours that you're like, man. That wasn't for me, dog. So
I respect everything of how those guys drew the houses because everybody got paid crazily because of it. Yeah. You know, so I take nothing from that. And, you know, Macho with my ties to Rip, obviously I show ultimate respect. And I've met Hogan 4 times now and done stuff at autograph signings and whatnot with him, but not next to him, but never taking the leg drop or anything along those lines. But
one of the few that haven't taken the leg drop.
Right. So. Not that I wouldn't. but yeah, dude, that's my shtick, though. You know, I'm a throwback gimmick from that exact era. So where my part is on the show, sometimes 9/11, New Era, and other times when I'm working Hacksaw Jim Duggan, you know, I'm straight out of 1987. So I'm thankful for that, to be able to do both of those things. And it's because of guys like these that set that up that I'm still earning a bit off of, you know, off of their, even 30 years later, I'm still getting a shine off of their stuff.
That's true. That's true. And you could have easily sat in for Muhammad Hassan, you know, during that whole angle too. And got punched up by Hogan at WrestleMania 30.
Absolutely. You know, he looks a lot better than I do. But then, I was glad to work. I was glad to get to work Hassan just a couple of years ago. That kind of brings things full circle for me and gave him closure. And
yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. I you know, even on an indie show, if Hogan's coming to do a signing or something, he can grab me by the beard and give me the big. And one punch and I'll go down and sell out. That's all he needs to do if he can't do other things. But, you know, it's all the same shit. It's all how I sell it. So, but shout out Muhammad Hassan, a great dude. And he's only about 40 minutes from me in a high school principal now, man. He's got a great family and a great life. And the guy runs like 10 miles a day. He's ready to, if you were to show him compared to Mark Capone against half the WWE roster right now, he'd blow him out of the water physique wise.
So he wasn't gassed up like Chris Masters. He's actually all natural.
No, I think he was doing a cycle back then. But dude, when I just fought him on the indies 2 years ago, bro, I know he's not gassed up because he's been high school principal's like, well, and all.
Yeah,
but dude took his shirt off, put his tights on, and he's fucking six pack, huge shoulders, huge arms. That's just cool. Dedication to staying in shape, man. So the guys, but then his punch was shitty and he punched me in the face five times hard as hell till I gave him the tongue and fucking thumb to the neck to get him back and drew blood on him. But he's punching me in the face in the third one. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. And then the fourth one's soft. And then the fifth one, he tattoos me right in the temple. I'm like, fuck this, bro. But he hadn't worked in 10 years. So I had to slow him down. He was going 90 miles an hour out of the gate. But once we got into the rhythm of it all, they loved it. And then because he was so jacked and because the upstate New York audience knows me as a monster heel, here he comes back from the last thing he did was Muhammad Hassan with death threats and shit. But because he's in such good shape, he's instantly the baby face. You know what I mean? So it was good stuff.
And it's a good testament to you, too, is how over you are as a heel, especially in that territory.
So. I wish I was in better shape because I had quit smoking dope and put on like 30 pounds and I just looked like shit, even though I knew how to work still. But me looking like shit also made him look that much better.
Right, yeah, yeah, really.
Too. So, but you know, I was thankful to get to work with him three times. And then when he got the principal position, they told him, you can't even give wrestling interviews. You can't do no shows, no nothing. Which I was like, oof, okay. So I was glad I got to bring that full circle, but it ain't about me. It's about the mega powers, bro, and the mega bucks. And, as we move into, you know, $1 Million Man with Virgil and obviously Andre the Giant coming out of that, that was the heat that drove the mega powers to unite.
Absolutely. And, everybody will always remember Elizabeth, you know, taking off her skirt and revealing her red granny panties during the whole thing to distract the mega bucks and allow the mega powers to regroup and get the win. And yeah, they were on fire from then on out. I mean, again, when you look at stuff like that, you know, it's always a little nuances for Macho Man. Like, he thought it was a good idea, but then I think Hulk even gave her a little hug or something at that point too. And you see the look from Macho like,
Boom. Yeah.
What's he doing there, brother?
You know, I bet it took some convincing just to get her to do the panty spot.
I bet. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But as a kid, I had no problem with it whatsoever. you know, but that's something we always will remember. And then moving into Survivor Series, the finish of the match had Hulk Hogan getting handcuffed to the ropes and Macho Man getting his ass beat for a good 10 minutes or so, till finally Slick got knocked down. He had the key in his pocket. Elizabeth runs over, grabs the key out, unlocks Hogan. Hogan comes in for the big baby face save, gets the hot tag, and wins the match, and then starts posing. while Macho Man is just sitting there on the apron, you know, trying to recover himself, and Hogan's posing, and Elizabeth comes up to him, and that's when he gave her a hug. I think that's when she had the red dress on.
Yeah.
And he gave her a hug, and then you saw that look that you're talking about from Macho Man. It's Hogan gets in, or she gets in the middle, raises both her hands. Hulk Hogan's, you know, placating to the crowd, and Macho Man's kind of giving the stink eye, like, I don't know what's going on here, man.
Yeah, you left me out to dry. And there's a couple times on matches where that goes. So they played that pattern out very well. I thought that was good. But then I watched Elizabeth, not in that one, but the Meg match before that, where she's trying to do this. And like, And it's so like half-assed. And I'm just like, those things, even now I watch it and go, ugh.
Can you blame Elizabeth? Like, a lot of people don't talk about Elizabeth's role in this whole thing. Is she gave Hulk Hogan a lot of attention. And when you go through and watch every single time they were together, if Hogan was down and getting his ass beat, she'd be over trying to, you know, check on him and see if he's okay. While Macho Man's sitting there like, what the hell, man? Like, you know, why are you taking care of Hogan and not me?
Did it feel like she was sexually attracted to him? That, like,
I thought maybe, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if she was. I feel like this was every actor playing their part well. Macho's in it for the wins, but he's like, what's going on with the relationship stuff? Even though she's not really putting sexual advances towards Hogan, she's just checking on her charge of the dude that's down. And then Hogan, when he celebrates, is just a big baby face and being pumped that they got a win. But to Macho Man, it looks like something's going on there. So there was never really any intent to deceive between any of them. But Macho's paranoia and those things happening over and over again are enough to make it, in his skewed view, justifiable that something is going on. But there really wasn't nothing going on. But Macho snaps, breaks, and that's what goes down to it, because of these things like the handcuffing when he's down and she's checking on him. And even when she takes the bump from Macho or whoever, and Hogan carries her out, which is probably the most iconic part of this whole story, I think. Right. You know what I mean? And takes her to the back, and they break down and start fighting in the back. But all of that was real hero's journey and damsel in distress stuff, scarred by jealousy and paranoia. And I think they all played their parts well in that story. That's not an easy story to tell and make it all work, dude. So that was some really great chess moving and creative.
Yeah, no, and that makes sense. Like you said, Elizabeth was just, you know, taking care of Hogan, who's, you know, her friend and she's his manager, and he just got his ass beat for 20 minutes. And I could see where Macho Man in real life also being, you know, paranoid. So it may have been a little bit of a shoot, you know.
Well, that's what you want. Like, if I'm a director, I want to get the best on my performer. So I'm going to write something to that where Mach is going to actually be able to play very real. You know what I mean? And it's going to feel a lot better than Force. You never saw Miss Elizabeth checking on Hogan or going up to him and feeling his titty or his arm and being like, oh, look, let me feel that for a minute. You never saw that. If we even got one glimpse of that, then the whole story's changed.
Yeah.
When they were doing the bit, and I used to love these interviews on the platform back there, Hogan said, now we're both fighting for her honor. And Macho's like, oh, really? Okay, yeah. And like, he's with it. But why would Hogan and them give a shit about Miss Elizabeth's honor after all the heat? It's things like that that's plays of the crowd, because the crowd obviously loved her and I didn't, but I wanted the heat to be with Andre. Like, you know, like, I'm going to fuck these guys up. So anytime it was passed on to her, here's the problem. You can't pay off heat on her. They did with the bump, you know.
They did with the bump, and they did with a handcuffing incident. On a Saturday Night's main event where Boss Man had handcuffed Elizabeth and was about to tie her to the ropes. Macho Man comes in with the chair for the save, and then she immediately goes over to Hogan. Doesn't thank Macho for saving her or anything like that. He's standing there looking at Boss Man, make sure he doesn't come back in the ring. And she's down on the mat, you know, holding Hulk Hogan's arm and trying to make sure he's okay. And then Randy's like, hey, bro, you know, I came down and saved you. You're like, what the hell? Like, why are you looking at him?
Yeah, no, he's got a viable bitch, but what she's doing is just hiding behind a human shield during a time of being scared.
Yeah.
She's not making a choice there, right? It just happens to be location and where the heat is. Macho Man's got to be the gunslinger in the middle of the fucking street, ready to bang, bang. And then instead of the damsel running to him, where he's like, I saved everybody, he's got a real and viable bitch. Everybody in this has their own truth. and they're living it out. Hogan's right. is the Americana, all of that, and being the top guy and being the knight in shining armor. Hers is being the damsel in distress, even though she's already with somebody else, and his is being the warrior on the battlefield. And yep. when he doesn't get his just spotlight or the chick coming to him for saving the day, well, he's going to feel some kind of way about it.
Yeah, and I do want to take a look at that real quick just to elaborate on what you just said, just so you can get a visual cue of what I was saying there. Now these two are really
going to have some fun. I'm in better shape than both of those.
Yeah, no, that's true. She's looking back for Randy Savage, and look at this, the ball. Oh, nice. He's going to work with the big stick again. How much punishment can one man take? Hulk Hogan, what are they pointing at now? And Vince and Jesse did a great job during this as well, setting the tone, you know.
But Jesse is the ref, too.
Yeah. What are they going to do with Elizabeth? They have no right to touch her.
She's in the ring. Put their hands on her. They got Elizabeth. Everybody can see it. Look, he's got his hand up.
Got her hand up in the air, yep. He's been screaming at her, yelling at her. Wait a minute. Randy Savage, chair in hand, leaps in the ring, swings at the big boss man. Randy Savage cleaning house. Instead of saying anything to Randy, she immediately goes over to Hulk to make sure he's okay.
Because why?
You
know what I noticed,
McMahon? Macho Man did nothing to come down. You tell me.
Hogan was in trouble. Because Hogan got hit. Elizabeth got in trouble. Hogan took heat. He got hit with the weapon.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least he is in the
ring. I'll explain it. I'd like to have seen okay. him arrive a little bit earlier in the matchup, but nonetheless, he is there, chair in hand. But meanwhile, Elizabeth attending to Hulk Hogan, who has been severely beaten. A Macho Man looking on here, but I'll tell you the Hulk. And now he's like, what the fuck? Yeah. Wait a minute.
Macho Man over to query Elizabeth about what's been going on, I think. Hey, Macho's definitely got some questions for her. Elizabeth, whoa. Wait, what is he doing? I think he doesn't understand.
And this is January 89. This is a couple months before their breakup. So. Has been pre-Royal Rumble when Hogan threw him out.
Dressing room. I think Macho's a little more concerned over Elizabeth's concern over Hogan. I'm not so sure about that. Nonetheless, the mega power's back.
Vince.
I'm not so sure about that.
I'm not so sure about that. I mean, Jesse hit the nail on the head, but Vince is like, no way, that's not what she's doing, but, you know.
Well, Hogan took the bullet here. He got hit with the stick, so he's down. Her as a manager and being like, thank you for taking one for me. She should have been looking after him because Macho didn't take no heat. He just ran the heels off, and he didn't hit any heel with a chair because we're saving it for the pay-per-view. So he even swung and missed. Heels got their heat and left and didn't take any heat. So we can pay off the heat on the big show. What do we do on Raw and SmackDown? Fuck it. Wear them out. Big E and Apollo Crews talking via teleconference, even though they're in the same arena. Big E gets in a goddamn golf cart and goes 100 yards and then jumps out and the new badass Apollo Crews begs off like a pussy, and then they beat the shit out of each other. And where Apollo Crews should have been a strong dude who left Big E laying right there if Big E came to get some. In fact, they never should have touched because they had him on the teleconference thing and they blew that.
Yeah.
Compared to what the shit I just said to what they laid out right there where heels escape with their heat, where nobody touched except for the heels on Hogan. We already showed that there's dissension in the ranks and we know something's coming, and Miss Elizabeth escaped and we're like, all right, they didn't hurt her. Those are a lot of psychological feelings that are like, but we also want to see them get their hands on those guys who got away. Instead, they blow that off now in 1 week, bro, and then the pay-per-views don't mean shit. Yeah. So that's really – and commentary helped there by saying, is she a Jezebel? She's with Hogan. And, and he's like, no, she's still got her integrity, and I don't think that's what's going on here. So you even have the baby and heel on commentary – kind of helping that story along as they should, instead of commentary now just saying he's a coward and all this dumb shit that doesn't mean anything, you know. So
Jesse and Bobby were great as heel commentators because they were so smart and so good about, you know, telling that other side of the story. Even if Vince or even Gorilla or myself, you know, as a kid that liked baby faces, I'm like, yeah, like, what the hell is Jesse and Bobby talking about? Like, that's not true. But like when Bobby, the best call that Bobby ever had, in my opinion, was the Bash at the Beach when Hogan was about to turn heel. And Bobby goes, yeah, but whose side is he on?
Yeah, I like it.
I never thought of that, you know, as a 16-year-old or whatever like that. And I didn't have, you know, the kind of the mind that you have. But I'm like, why would Bobby mention it? Hogan's here to make the save. You know what I mean? He's here to help Sting and Macho Man. Why? But Bobby just threw that little tiny breadcrumb out there. Like, What do you mean? Whose side is he on?
It's the softball for the setup. And he was a master at all that, making all talents shine. Or telling, and I think Ventura was even better than Bobby at this, because Bobby was more of a gimmick for everyone to get heat through. But Ventura would actually justify why a heel would do something because of that heel's own truth.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And if you're believing things that are truth, with my character, Islamophobia, with 9/11, with racism, with unjust wars where thousands were murdered for what? Lithium and oil under the guise of weapon of mass destruction. I can do a lot. How about how many drone bombings that killed innocent little kids in Iraq, and for what? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What all I have to say is one of those are my nieces, and now doesn't my character have a completely different truth?
Absolutely.
And why they're doing something and justifying it, whereas why is he so vicious and why does he want so much payback? Well, he's had 20 years of unjust war in his hometown. Like, now it's a different scope. And all it takes is a heel to justify that. I might say terrible things, get the crowd going, but once they're on commentary and they see why I'm doing something, well, that's a great heel commentator, and Jesse would justify that stuff for us.
Yeah, and they even had an interview after that segment we just watched, you know, where they're okay, they're back on the same page, they're friends again, and right when they cut off of that and they were about to close the show, Vince says something like, oh, it's good to see them back together. And Jesse was like, well, I'm not so sure, McMahon. You know, this doesn't set, you know, this stinks to high heaven or something like that. Like, he wasn't buying the fact that, you know, they had made up and there wasn't any problems anymore.
Yeah, well, I think as a heel, you see it and know it, because just because you handshake and bury it doesn't mean that you don't feel a certain way about it and that it can't raise its ugly head again, whether it's jealousy or, you know, paranoia, and they go hand in hand that way. So I like that they kind of help. Jesse leaves it open-ended where people are like, oh, they're back on the same page. I don't know. You know, so it works both ways. And he was just great always. Those commentary teams of Heenan, Monsoon, Vince, and Jesse are just unstoppable. And there's no, I mean, Lawler and was good too, but he would get a little hokey, but he would tell truths about heels and do the same thing with him and JR. But since that time, there's been nobody that can even compare to these guys. Like since the Michael Cole era where everything's whitewashed, it's just, it's brutally bad, bro.
I agree. And I think Graves could have been a Jesse style.
He could have.
And I think he has the ability because he's a very smart kid. But they just wouldn't let him. They wouldn't give him any free reign to do that. I mean, he tried to throw it in here and there, but you know, like him arguing with Renee Young and stuff like that, or him arguing with Byron, like that was good stuff. That kind of reminded me of Vince and Jesse back in the day with Graves, you know, picking on Byron and making fun of him and all that. But yeah, I mean, if they would have given him the free reign to go, I think he's a guy that could have stepped in and been that Jesse, you know, version two.
I think so. He might have needed a little bit more time in the ring before he got hurt to do it, to have the credibility like Jesse had.
Right.
But no, I think Graves is excellent in doing that stuff in the moment. But the problem is WWE says nobody's talking for themselves anymore. Like this time we're watching right here, it's set up, but nobody's saying line for line unless there's one specific line or moment that we have to get over to further the storyline. Everything else is improvised because people know their character and they know their character's voice and how they'd react. Now Vince McMahon's got his hand up commentary's ass to the elbow on each of them, making their mouths move like puppets. You know, so once you're handcuffed like that creatively, the opportunity to be in the moment, like I said, is gone. We're never even going to reach that point for Graves to be able to do what he can do at his best and shine to help the stories get over, because it's just one fucking stupid thing. Samoa Joe has been completely marginalized. He says the dumbest shit.
Oh, he's been castrated. Absolutely.
It's unreal, man. And Joe's a great performer, great on the mic, great in the moment. Yep. And now he's a fucking joke.
Yep. No, he is. He's a yes man. He's towing the company line, and it's hard to watch. It's hard to see a guy like him.
But what would be great is him on the mic going, "No, I'm not saying that." And they're like, "What? Yeah. What's going on?" And like he's like, "No, I know this business. You don't have to tell me what to do." And like get heat. Like we could get a real moment, like kind of the Sami Zayn type of stuff that we're seeing from Samoa Joe, of him having enough of being controlled like a marionette puppet. You know what I mean? Like he's way too good to be marginalized.
And it wouldn't take much to do that. And it would get people interested again. It's all you got to do is just spark one little moment like that. And people will be like, "Oh shit. Was that real or was that not?" You know, that
we got to blur them.
That's suspending your disbelief, which they don't do anymore. Yeah.
And all it has to be, if you really want to do it, this is not a cool thing to do to the boys in the locker room because they know it's working. But if somebody's on their game and they'll follow along, that should be between Vince, Samoa Joe, Kevin Dunn, and maybe one other person, and not even the guys on commentary.
Yeah.
Be honest with you. Maybe you smarten them up, maybe a little bit. Just be like, "I'm going to do something. Follow me." You know what I mean? So they're not like trying to like, "Dude, why are you guys working us?" Like the boys will get hot at each other for that. Sure. But you know, if it's the rest of the locker room, you don't got to worry about it because they're going to be talking. They're going to be like, "Well, that was cool. How can I blur the lines of reality with my shit? Because I'm tired of doing way over scripted stuff." And maybe Joe is the catalyst to break other guys out of that shit, man. But whatever. They won't do it. They're green sliming and doing hopscotch with their giant. We're fucked, bro.
Yeah, and you wonder why. I mean, I'm not going to say Big Show is going to be used properly either in AEW, but you wonder why he left too. Because, I mean, look what they did to his whole entire career.
Dude, he was dancing to Maki Ito week two. Like, we're done. Yeah. Like, you're done.
That's just a current statement that we're in right now. That's for a whole other show that you cover, obviously, on Hameen Media Group and Hacker Hameen. Every single day of the week, almost, you know, you're giving your opinions on AEW and Impact and SmackDown and Raw. It's tough. I know you do it because, you know, you love to entertain.
I love this business, man. I love this business when it's done right.
You hate to see it being bastardized, which they're doing.
I do. And I hate to see people on Impact really putting together awesome shows, awesome segments, awesome work, and it only gets seen by 116,000 people. Like, that breaks my heart because the people who are working their ass off, who do have the opportunity of carte blanche and doing creative the right way, a Sami Callihan, a Susan character, even Triple XL or even now TJP, who I've really been enjoying, or Rahit Raju. Like, what happens when Impact folds? Because it's gonna, there's no way you can stay alive with 116,000 and the move shows out of nowhere. It's just impossible. And when they get signed by NXT and are marginalized, and he comes out and he's doing the Indian, you know, again of Bollywood, it's gonna happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. And I think AEW has tried to help Impact, but I think they're almost hurting him.
I don't think they've helped him at all, bro. They've whored him out and used him as a hype show for AEW. They haven't done anything to help the ratings there.
I know this is off the rails, and we'll get back to topic here in a second, but I am intrigued by this. Do you think Tony Khan is trying to drive them down so low that he actually gets to he'll actually purchase them and then try to incorporate all the talent onto AEW? Do you think he's trying to drive the price down?
That'll hurt. I mean, the price is down. There's no way. There's no price. what you're buying is the tape library, you know, and because there's no revenue from advertising. They'd have to pay to put it on. The reason why it's on Anthem is because they own the channel on Access. Is because Anthem owns the channel. You know, there's no pay-per-view revenue, none of that. So what value really is there? If you're talking about why it is, it's a good brother, let's keep alive wrestling and make sure people have a place to work through Don Callis and Scott D'Amore being workers and probably working Ed Nordholm for as long as they can to do that. But dude, if a whole company folds and you got all these guys who are way better, what are you going to do with a Moose, a Sami Callihan, like I said, Rohit Raju, Triple XL, Eric Young, Cody Deaner, Cousin Jake are all in my opinion, better in season performers than everyone who's in the dark order. Pretty much, I like Uno and those, and I like Cole. I won't say that. I'm not going to throw those guys under the bus, all of them. But there's plenty of guys in that group, and there's plenty of people like the librarians. Yeah. There's plenty of green guys. They just hired that Benoni dude who's got money written on him, but he's got 3 to 4 years before he ever gets what this business is about and how to move. All those people, and I'm sure they're great and great people, gone, you know, because you got to make way for a Moose, and you got to, and then also you're bringing in Christian Cage and this guy and the other, all those indie friends that you hired, you know, from Joey Janela's circus, they're gone. They're, that's just how it is. There's no way a company, and I already think AEW, based on what we've seen with WCW and TNA, dude, they shotgun 4 years of mistakes into 1 year. Yeah. You know, Khan putting himself on TV and all that shit. Now we see where it leads. We see it. We saw it with Russo. We saw it with Dixie. We saw it with, and they're speeding up the process
tremendously. You know, yeah.
They're what took those companies 4 years in their downfall and in all the wrong moves. Khan is doing that within 6 months' time.
Is that because you think he's afraid of losing the TNT deal?
I think he's just a mark and doesn't learn from history.
You think it's that bad?
Yes, yeah. It's more about that, dude. But the guy's also got billions of dollars. But true. How long can you have a 1-15 football team, a soccer team that got demoted, and a wrestling show that went from 1.4 million to 700,000 in 1 year, losing half your audience with no live shows, with no touring shows, with a roster that's approaching 200 something, you know, with other paper performance or guaranteed contracts? Like, there's just rules to doing business, and I don't care how rich the fuck you are or how much of a mark for Sting you are. It doesn't matter, dude. The writing's on the wall, and the boys are already working them for a paycheck.
But it's the greatest time in the history of time to be a wrestling fan.
Who says that? Who with any credibility says that and believes it?
The marks say it. That's all.
Said someone with credibility.
Yeah, right.
Somebody in the business who's making the most money and getting there. The only person who's really doing it is Cody with outside shows, a new, you know, the big show thing with Nightmare Factory, with his own reality TV show. Because you know why? He's smart and he's cashing in before it all comes crashing down, bro,
yeah,
to make himself a household name.
And I think he knows it's coming.
Yeah, the heels show with Amel. Like, and he's a vice president at AEW, and he's not there doing the vice president thing, making sure everybody else gets over. He's the only one who actually is playing this shit smart to the nth degree to get the most out of it.
He's a chip off the old block. I mean, that's a dusty move right there.
Worker's gonna work, bro.
Yeah. So getting back to the Mega Powers.
Yeah.
That leads us into Royal Rumble 89. There was an incident where Hogan had eliminated, I think it was the Warlord, and Macho Man was, I forgot who he was struggling with to try to get over the top, but they're both kind of leaning over the top rope. Hogan comes from behind, eliminates them both, and boom, that sets up your real dissension.
That's a fucking weird move, right?
Yeah.
Why would you have Hogan pull a heel move?
I mean, honestly, you can make a case for Hogan working heel the whole time, really. I mean, kind of being about himself. I mean, yeah, placating to the crowd, but like posing all the time when Macho Man's all fucked up and you know, Hogan with a giant ego, just you know, Hogan must pose, brother. And I think you can make a case for Hogan kind of being I don't want to say a tweener, but at least working a little bit of a heel style, to where you could put a little bit of sympathy on where Macho Man.
His ego and shine are what's important, because he knows. But then Hogan could justify it. Bro, I just had the power of the Hulkamaniacs running through me.
He pretty much said that. He said, yeah. I mean, he didn't go the, hey, it's every man for himself, brother. He just kind of said, you know, I got caught up in the moment, and I eliminated you, and I'm sorry, you know.
I get it, but I think that's a mistake, because he justified it, but to try and fix it. But I'm, as a director, and they might have felt like this afterwards, hindsight's 20/20, look good on paper, we should have done it a different way. I've written 20 things, 100 things that are like that. Look good on paper, didn't come off right. because Because if Hogan believes that, but that's telling, that's plot, and that's words to justify. Show don't tell is way more powerful than anything scripted. The best acting we do is when we say nothing at all. So we do it with a look, or we do it with an action. Him doing that action is a heel action right there. He could have started and grabbed Mach and held him. And then the heel could have done something to get Mach off there, and it costs him. You know what I mean?
Right.
That I think that we missed an opportunity there to keep Hogan really babyface and have the power of the Hulkamaniacs running through him, but he still would have should have done the neutral good thing there and tried for the save instead of justifying it later, or not even done it at all to some degree, because that's just not that's not in Hogan's persona to do that. So they did show don't tell, which is more powerful than speaking. And I think that was a lesser choice, not a mistake, but I think we had better choices right there.
Yeah, because I mean, you got Mach eventually turning heel, and you know Hogan doing that heel like move that puts sympathy on Macho Man. So you know, how are you supposed to build up Macho Man? Is you know, it would have been better if Macho Man had thrown Hogan out.
You got it. You got it right there. Or Hogan is doing something, struggling, and they're both teetering, and Mach is with somebody else, and the heel pushes Macho Man into them while they're teetering, and it's inadvertent, and they're fucked, and Hogan, brother, what? Nah, dude, he fucking pushed me, da-da-da, and then, boom, he gets glommed right away by the heel, so the argument can't take place, and Hogan's like, oh, shit, because you don't know. We don't. In this time, we don't have instant replay on the monitors in the back of somebody watching something to run down. Even when Hogan got hit with the fucking nightstick gimmick, Macho's running down because he hears that Elizabeth is in trouble. It's not because he's watching on the monitor, sees Hogan take the heat. He doesn't even know Hogan took the fucking heat. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things in 2021 in our instant gratification, instant media world where we watch everything that a new fan isn't going to understand about growing up in the 80s. Right. Where you missed a phone call from your friend, it might be 4 hours, and you called them back and there's no answering machine, or they got a busy signal. Like, people aren't going to understand in the confines of how information was relayed as it is to now and using those same standards. So those blind spots of the 80s of us not having that instant gratification help this story, and you kind of can't judge it by the same criteria of what we're used to. Does that make sense?
No, that makes sense. But in hindsight, if you were to rebook it,
yeah,
you think they had a missed opportunity there?
I do. I think an inadvertent thing, and I think putting heat on Hogan and then justifying it afterwards. I just watched this too. Because my finish to Fastlane would have seen Edge. I think they buried the refs at Fastlane, and I got into it with one of my old writing partners, Adam Revolver. I felt bad because he doesn't watch the product like I do, and he's a fucking phenomenal wrestler, phenomenal OVW writer, phenomenal director. He really is, and one of Rip Rogers' most trained students. But I thought Edge should have left Daniel Bryan and Reigns laying, and that match should have been a no contest. It's only Fastlane, but so it's not like we needed a win there, because we bumped the ref goes out, then Daniel Bryan hits Edge inadvertently. Edge is an enforcer, also the referee, where he was playing it straight, and then Edge snaps. Edge is a cool, no-selling legend who's out for his own thing. Him pulling his hair like, what did I do? No, I'm out of it, is the wrong thing for the id of his character. This is the wrong id for Hogan's character as well. Edge could have snapped, left them both laying. Then a third referee comes down, and in the match, counts three with that. Now, we are in 2021. Is that ref back there pulling his dick and someone goes, we need a ref, and he runs out and doesn't know what's going on? No. He should have watched it all, known that one ref was bumped, that the enforcer has now turned and everything's fucked up, and the enforcer walks off, and that ref should go, this is no contest. Neither of these guys can compete. I got to help my ref buddy. And Edge leaves by fucking over the main event because he knows he's going into Mania. Instead, we got some stupid finish where the underdog doesn't win, which is Daniel Bryan's id. the big dog who should win cleanly and strong doesn't win. He wins on a cheat because of somebody else. So that makes him look like a chicken shit heel. And Edge is supposed to be the smart, cool one who's a legend. Instead, he looks like a freaked out dude who can't fucking hold his shit together.
Yeah.
This week on SmackDown, Daniel Bryan does a whole promo to try and save that instead of doing the finish that they should have done to try and tell, get back on the story of where they were. And it doesn't work. And this was a very similar opportunity, similar thing where they didn't learn from the past. And it should have been Macho inadvertently bumping them, Hogan reacting. So then we can get, bro, what did you do? Well, it was him, and put the heat on the heels that way, dude.
Right.
To keep it going. Instead, the heat's on the baby faces. Wrong.
So what they made Macho Man look like really during all of this was just an obsessive, you know, jealous person.
Well, I think that's exactly what he is in real life, and I think Vince knows that, so they played to that to get the most real performance from that. But in that, Hogan did the heat. Yeah. Mott should have done the heat.
Now, when it comes to the main event, when it was the Mega Powers against the Twin Towers, the breakup night, Elizabeth taking the bump, like we mentioned before. Macho Man gets thrown out by Akeem. Takes a... I love Akeem.
Dude, I love Akeem the African Dream. I fucking used to laugh my ass off. And Boss Man was badass too, man.
He was.
I like the Mega Bucks. Obviously, Andre and Million Dollar Man I've stolen tons from. But to me, my favorite part of this feud was the Twin Towers, bro, with Slick. I liked it way better than I liked the Mega Bucks part of this.
A huge, believable tag team, too.
Yeah, awesome. You know? Well, huge, believable, a white guy playing the fucking African. Well, so believable, but
I bought it, right?
Committed
I
mean, to the bit, and like you couldn't take your eyes off him. Right. Even his one-man gang, he was fucking awesome.
Dude, hey, there's white people in South Africa. I can buy it.
I get it. But he was talking like he's from, you know, West Side Michigan.
Yeah,
like,
not with a British accent.
Shit, that it, you know, like he was a jive soul bro. He wasn't fucking the pride of South Africa.
But, you know, you had the two biggest guys on the babyface side, and you literally had the two biggest guys, literally and figuratively, on the heel side. And what better collision between?
Yeah. We had body guys versus fat heels.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, people say, oh, heels can be in shape and da-da-da-da, and I don't stay out of shape, or, you know.
You don't have to be, though. You have a little bit more leeway.
Right.
As a heel.
Let me tell you why, business-wise. As a babyface, the crowd, who are probably soda-sucking fat morons, you know, want to live vicariously through the babies. And that's what we do. We provide that experience. The babies provide that experience. So that means you also want to look like them. You want to have sex appeal like them. You want to do all that. Now, if you got heels, who they might be doing vicious heel shit, Flair or whatever, but his body's awesome, you don't really live as, like, you don't hate them as much as, like, look at that big fat bastard, because you might be looking inside yourself and being like, I hate myself because I'm a fat, lazy fucker. But this guy's in here doing heel shit, and you don't want to live vicariously through them because you don't want to be a 380-pound dude with a big gut. You know what I mean? So that's what I love about the 80s, whether it's Bundy, these two guys absolutely doing fucking clowny shit and getting the stuff in, but their body type, you don't want to live vicariously through them. And I think it was, and they both move awesome for obese guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, they were very talented and very agile for being that big. And you mentioned a guy like Flair, you know, even though he was a heel and telling everybody that, you know, my shoes cost more than your house, pal. People still want to be Ric Flair.
But they did. And that's also 80s. That's that Wall Street shit of classism of, oh, we live in a, you know, small town trailer park and da 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 da. And here's this guy with Rolexes and all that. But how'd that work out for him by 2020 when it's all gone and he's doing life insurance commercials on his fourth wife paying alimony and now has to do an angle with fucking the pregnant fucking Southern Belle chick. Like, that, there's something to be said for the long term of that game. I think you can even tell the long term storyline, but politics will never let us do that.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But so getting to the bump that Elizabeth took, a sick bump, and she's 90 pounds soaking wet. You know, Macho's a pro, but I mean, that looked like that shit hurt. It looked like she kind of missed, you know, the pad a little bit, and maybe you know, got dinged a little bit on the concrete, but she took it like a champ. I mean, you got to get her credit for that. That's a very dangerous move for a civilian like that to take.
It was a good and real bump. There's no doubt about it. And it should look like that. It shouldn't look clean with a civilian. It should, like, oh, train wreck. And, you know, I'm sure Mach has hit her harder than that behind closed doors a couple times. Not making fun of him. I'm just saying, like, she's not the first probably strike against her. That's where the heat is, right? The oh my god moment. That is a pinnacle moment and what it should have been right there. And I like this, even though I was like, I remember being happy that she got bumped off the apron because I couldn't stand her at the time. I was like, yeah, kick her ass off of there, dude. It leads into the perfect damsel in distress, the Hogan picking her up and leaving, and we get these great visuals of a weeping and carrying Hogan. Even one guy when we're leaving, and I've forgotten about this because it was so many years ago, but then I heard it on commentary, right when he gets close to going to the back, whether he's still in the arena, some guy goes, "You're a good man, Hogan." And I was like, fuck yeah, bro. If that was a plant, then good job. If not, it's a fan who really believes. And that is the epitome of the moment that we're trying to create and capture all the time, dude. And I think this is one of the greatest visual moments in wrestling, of Hogan carrying her back and, bro, what are we doing? And, you know, and then Macho responding, being left out there, but they kind of F that up because Hogan comes back, right?
Yeah.
So here's the problem with this. They had all that. He leaves Macho, and you think that what should happen there is Macho should take the fall. He's outgunned. Yep. They left him out that dry. Instead, Hulk comes back out, gets his shit in, and Hogan goes over clean, and then we go to the back and have the fucking breakdown of it. It shouldn't have been that.
To me, makes Hogan look like a heel. I mean, just because he's the ego guy.
He comes back for the Spirit of 76 and goes over on the big heels. He should have left looking caring. Macho should have lost. Heels up strong. They have heat. But the heat is between Hogan and him leaving him out to dry while Hogan's doing the right thing, taking care of Miss Elizabeth. Hogan never should have come back out there. Heels should have gone over strong on Macho. And then Macho slinks to the back all fucked up. And then the scene.
And he's like, what the fuck? Yeah.
Hogan never should have came out. So there's things in the 80s that they... You know, a couple extra lines might have fucked that up in the writers' meeting.
Right.
Like, and they might have gone, look good on paper. We should have ended it here and had heels go over strong on Macho. It would have been a better choice. So but, even in this moment, yeah, kind of fucked it up with some.
Vince likes that, you know, like he wanted Macho to go out there and slap Hogan. He likes that gotcha moment, or he likes that, you know, moment that you'll never forget, these little tiny, you know, almost like a WrestleMania moment. He likes those little things that you're always going to remember. I think he'd rather see the visual slap so you know that Macho Man's pissed off.
I'm just booking on the fly here. Hogan takes to the back, Macho takes the loss.
Right.
Okay. Heels leave, Macho's fucked up. Or they're getting heat on Macho after the match. Hogan runs down to fuck them off, heels powder, and get out of there. And Hogan comes down not to just to save Macho, but to be like, dude, she's messed up in the back. Macho gets up and then is like, what'd you leave me for? We lost. Mm-hmm. We didn't get that. Hogan and him went over, so the heat is lessened.
Yeah,
and Hogan coming back. Hogan could be trying to pull him to the back, and Macho's getting pissed, and then Macho's like, all right, fuck it, let's go, and then they both go to the back to check on her while he's trying to convince her, and then we could have led to something. There was choices in here that weren't as strong as the strongest choices, in my opinion, as a booker.
Well, I don't like the fact that after the slap happened, Hogan gets the win, he's walking to the back, and he's pissed off. He's looking for Macho. Why is... He's pissed off that Macho Man left him when he's the one that left Macho in the first place. Like,
I guess, bro.
They kind of blurred the lines there. Why is Hogan upset with Randy?
You won, too. Why are you pissed off?
And he won, yeah.
We need the feeling of heat here, and a win does not give us that, you know? So we're confusing the emotions back and forth three times in what could have been a solid finish. Heels lead with their heat, and the storyline would add to the id of why Macho is really fucking hot at Hulk, while Hulk is doing the knight in shining armor that he should be doing. You know,
who do you think's fault is that? Do you think it's three different ways of looking at this angle, whether it's Macho, Hogan, and Vince. Who had their say? Who wanted to get this in? Did Hogan say, I wanted to go this way? And Vince said, no, I wanted to go this way. Like, what do you think?
I'd have to see who was in on it, but I got to believe it was guys like, forgive me, is his name, Pat Patterson, Vince, and probably a young Bruce, who were all in on this, and maybe some old timers, maybe Lanza and those guys were in on it.
Gurria was there too. Yeah.
Yeah. But I got to tell you, none of these guys had done, even in territories, this is groundbreaking work. That's right. Why I excuse it. Yeah. No one had done storytelling on TV and live theater performance with this. This is all new, this larger than life shit. And people are feeding on it like it's unbelievable. You can feel when in the arenas, the air changes. Like something happens with the energy in the room when these guys come out. So knowing that, and knowing that Hogan Up has been making them a shit ton of money in box office wise, they might have just gone, we got to go Hogan Up at the end. It's too big. After you saw him slam Andre and they've lived through all that, their judgment might be clouded that Hogan Up is the only way. How do we get to that and tell the story? They might have clouded their own judgment in that. And maybe the receipts at the end of the day, you always go circle Hogan Up at the end. We just got to get there because that's what the crowd wants. Right. But you don't always want to play to your crowd because then they're fucking what they want is motivating you and money wise, as opposed to telling the best story, which is a bigger box office down the road. But millions and millions of dollars coming in every night can change it. When you've got Hogan's face on everything from ice cream to fucking jizz towels, you know, you're sticking with it.
So if we were to put our mind in Hulk Hogan, a character, you know, he saves Elizabeth, he's doing the right thing, he's doing the hero thing. Mm-hmm. He comes out once he realizes, oh shit, Randy's still in the ring. Cause Elizabeth says, you know, where's Randy? Oh, God, he's still in the ring. Like, almost Hogan fucking forgot what was going on, right?
Right.
So Hogan goes out there, makes a save, thinks he's doing the right thing by helping Macho Man out, gets the fucking slap, he goes over, he goes back, like, fuck, man, I saved our manager, I saved Randy, why the fuck did he ditch me, brother? And he goes back there and says, Randy, what the fuck? And Randy's on the mindset, like, what are you doing with Elizabeth, brother? You know, we all know the look in his eyes. You know?
Yeah, well, anything out of his sight, he's making up in his head. Is he back there giving her the fucking finger blast or what's going on?
Right. So from that perspective, putting yourself in the minds of each performer,
sure,
it makes sense.
Yeah.
From a storytelling, you know,
I agree. What was out of sight, out of mind in their own heads, it works. I just say heat on the heels.
No, I agree. Yeah, I agree. I'm just trying to put myself in the mind of the bookers and the characters to see why they did it the way they did it.
There's things I can watch now and go wrong, like I'm wrestling in 2021. But all the choices that I'm critiquing here aren't wrong. Like, that's the wrong way to do things.
Right.
There's avenues we can go down, and there's just some that I feel are stronger choices than others. But
the end result is the same. But, I mean, you could have maximized each little moment. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. I'm all about max value, bro.
Now, Sherry did get involved after WrestleMania 5. We know Hogan goes over. You know, Sherry moves on with the heel Savage, which we talked about. Elizabeth was kind of still, you know, leaning towards Hogan, but they didn't really explain why. You know what I mean? Like, they brought her down at SummerSlam to be like, I think they even brought her down Dusty brought her down the year after. Was it just because she hated Macho Man?
Now you're still in this 1980s Miss America type world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mutants and cute little things. And she'd been over long enough and is an established character that it only helps Hogan to like, see, babyface is here. Yeah. And when it comes to Sherry Martel, on a whole nother level from Miss
Elizabeth. She was a worker. She understood the business a lot more than Elizabeth would have.
But Elizabeth should. She was up on top for long enough that she should know everything in the same way. But maybe Macho protected her or kept her away from that, you know, psychopathically. So she didn't know everything. I don't know. But that was, she has value. Hogan's not in the top story, let's just fucking give the fans what they want and throw her out there with them. And, you know, there's the, that just adds a little bit to it for the babyface stuff. I hated it, but.
No, I get why they did it. Sherry and Macho Man sold it like, you know, like they should have, you know, like, sure. Why is Elizabeth coming down here? You know, they used to be, you saw kind of Macho Man still kind of maybe have feelings for her, and he was kind of torn between her and Sherry.
It's the best way a babyface Hogan can get in the head of Macho without doing heel things.
Yeah.
It's a babyface thing to have her in your corner, but it's also going to get it inside of the head of the Macho Man as payback after all of the stuff with him hooking up with Sherry. So it was a good retribution mind fuck move. I like it.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of, you kind of brought something up to where, you know, Elizabeth should have known how to play her part being in the business that long. Here's kind of a deep cut look at it. Do you think maybe Macho didn't smarten her up to everything?
Yes. I know. I know that for a fact.
Okay. That's, I didn't know for sure, but that's just the way I'm thinking. Like, cause I see the way she reacts a lot of times to things. Like she, whenever Macho Man would move, you know, she'd kind of jerk, you know, or she'd look kind of a little bit, you know, nervous or scared. One, that could have been the fact that he was knocking her around.
Yeah, dude, she's a mentally, you know, and I don't know how much physical abuse, but like the mental abuse was day in and day out.
Yeah.
So how are you supposed to go out there not knowing everything when he's just like, you're going to stand there, you're not going to move, and then when you come in, you raise my hand, don't do nothing else.
Yeah.
Like if you're conditioned to that, when you come in to do your big Hogan thing and it's like half-assed, like, yeah, like... For her, she thinks that's huge, you know, and she thinks she's really brothering it up and doing it really big, but that's as meek as she was probably because of a lot of her psychological abuse. So I can't put it all on her, but, and there's also a 10,000 hour rule. So look at when she was in NWO, look how different her persona was in her, cause he wasn't, you know, controlling her. It took probably that amount of years for her to like get to 10,000 hours to just start kind of getting it when she was.
Like she got it, I think, at that point.
Yeah. Oh, by that point, but she should have got it in 85, you know, but it took that long for her to really start to show personality above and beyond Miss Wyoming or whatever, best
printer. You know, trophy wife. She was the trophy wife the whole time.
My wife's hotter than her. That's right.
So all in all, I mean, obviously they carried this on through WCW, and I mean there was still some money left, you know, some money meat on the bone is what I'm trying to say. There was still money to get, you know, with the NWO with stuff like that. I think they even did a semi mega power reunion when Hogan was a babyface.
Yeah, Rated R on the phone live on the Mega Powers special for WrestleMania with Rad Rob. Did you enjoy the Mega Powers feud, Rated R?
Yeah, definitely.
I was just burying Miss Elizabeth, well, for a second time, but I was just saying.
Oh, she's certainly buried.
Yeah, man. But we'll be finishing up here pretty soon. Are you going to be over there? I'll come grab you up.
Oh, yeah.
All right, dude. I'll probably be there 15, 20 minutes.
Gotcha.
All right, bro. Just got to pick on my man.
Yep, that's cool. But, yeah, it, you know, they did a Mega Power reunion in early WCW. So, I mean, there was still money there. Obviously, they both had the name recognition. Everybody that watched WCW had watched WWF for the most part. So, you know, while they didn't go into the extreme depths that, you know, WWF did in telling a story, I thought they did a decent job with Elizabeth, you know, going to Ric Flair and teaming up with him because you got the 92 shit that happened as well between Macho and Flair. But, you know, at that point, you know, Elizabeth kind of, you know, like you said, knew what she was doing. I thought she did okay with Flair. I thought they had a nice little moment where they played a little vignette of her on the swing set talking about Randy and trying to fuck with him and get in his head and remember the good times and shit like that. So a lot of that was done pretty well. And then, you know, obviously with NWO stuff, you had Macho just getting fucking destroyed every week and getting spray painted, you know, by Hogan. So Hogan's still on top no matter what organization we're in. Hogan's still going to go over on Macho Man. Do you think Macho Man was still jealous at that point, or do you think he was just happy to do business?
By that time, well,
they weren't friends. I mean, he didn't.
From what I've heard on K100, that Mach was still kind of an intense dude, bro.
Yeah. Even
stage, I just think that's the guy he is, dude, and or was, and you know, by that time he had moved on and divorced, and I'm sure that he wasn't hot and he was fine with doing whatever little business because he was probably had Miss Madness on the side and who knows whatever else. But you know, yeah, I imagine like they knew they were effing with him to some degree, but he was making so much money from Turner, bro, that hey, bump me once and take my shirt off and spray paint me, bro. $3.6 million this year. I'm fucking fine with it, you know. And I love this reinvention. I like the black and white gear. I saw one of the last WCW show I had gone to was Thunder in Utica, and it was Macho versus DDP in the main. He fucking looked as good as he ever did, bro. Yeah. Elbow drop wise, and was just jacked. And
he was fucking jacked.
And still had every step, didn't lose a step. So I was kind of not, I mean, I'm sad the how he passed away so tragically, heart attack and car accident, but do gas, do cocaine, put big holes in your heart. Something's going to happen, bro.
Yeah.
But I was glad we never had to see a downfall Macho Man in the ring. Like we saw all these Flair performances or Shawn Michaels, you know, come back and do these things just for the payday. And I'm sure he would have, because I bet the Saudis would have wanted him, you know, so
70-year-old Macho coming out here.
I'm just glad that every image we have of the Macho Man in our head, he was at the top of his game, whether it was when he was a young man or as he finished up in WCW, you know.
Amazing athlete too, like light on his feet. I mean, just amazingly light on his feet. But
could still have been a pro at anything. Pro baseball, he tried out, right? He was on was it Cardinals or no, the Reds minor league team. And you know, his dad Angelo Poffo is, you want to talk about where the obsession comes from? Angelo Poffo is, I believe, the world record sit-up holder, or was he? People say the show would start, he'd just go over in the corner and do 5,000 sit-ups, bro. Just could nonstop do sit-ups.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, man? Like, I want everybody listening to this now to get down and try and do 50 sit-ups straight with no break.
I can do five, maybe.
Well, I mean, tomorrow you'll do six. Right. But, dude, imagine doing 500. Yeah. Then think 5,000, and it's no bullshit. That's not some worker lore shit, dude. Like 5,000 sit-ups straight. Okay. Yeah. And you wonder why Randy's crazy.
Right.
You know, and then Lanny Poffo, phenomenal on the mic, and probably you could argue as good, if not a better worker than Randy fundamentally. Like, punches and ability to do things, you know, were great. Just didn't get the push, but still the genius and all that kind of stuff was a great mid-card entertainment piece. And they never, one thing I like, they never put it over that Randy and Lanny together, you know what I mean? Cause they were so far apart, but we could have bridged that gap in WCW and told an intriguing reality story too.
They could have, he was on the payroll and didn't do anything.
Sure.
I mean, you know, I don't understand why they never did that. You could even make a case for that in modern day, why they haven't put, you know, Bray and Bo Wyatt together. Yeah, Bo Dallas and Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that foolishness, bro. It's just money left on the table.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we heard a different story from Hogan. When Macho Man died, Hogan said, you know, we made up and you know, we were on good terms and blah, blah, blah. And we wasted so many years, you know, not liking each other. I tried to contact him for many, many years. But the last shoot interview I could see, you know, or I could find with Macho Man, I think it was in 2009. He was talking to a guy and he kind of told the story about him and Hogan. And it was shortly after that, the rap album he put out, you know, Be a Man Hulk, which is a fucking fantastic song, by the way. The whole I bought the album. I mean, I loved it.
My buddy, BJ, who's crazy as a shithouse rat, who was at OVW, is in the video for that as well. So
he may have been the one that did the interview too, actually.
It could be. Macho.
But, Macho said, you know, he offered to, you know, put up, you know, a few million dollars, give it all to charity to go in the ring and have a real shoot fight with Hulk Hogan. Not a scripted, you know, match. An actual fight.
Who wants to say that, though?
I know, but Hogan wouldn't do it, and Hogan was a wuss, and he was a chump.
Macho whoop Hogan's
ass. Oh, fuck yeah. No, absolutely.
Wouldn't even be a fucking competition.
But, I mean, for many, many years, he still carried that resentment towards Hulk Hogan, and it wasn't a work. I mean, he literally did not like Hulk Hogan. Now, whether you want to believe what Warrior said of Hogan, Hogan's the reason why Macho and Liz split and got divorced. I don't know. I wasn't there. We weren't there. Why was Warrior trying to get himself over with that when in a story that he wasn't even involved with the shoot interview that he put out on his own website? I don't know. I mean,
he's crazy as fuck too. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's another guy with all genius. There's madness in the way they express themselves and do a ton of gas and put holes in your heart. Bad things happen. Like, you're going to live fast and hard, and that's fine if that's what you want to do and ship out like that, bro. But I don't know about Hogan and whatnot. I just know, like, when you say things like Hogan knows best and you're banging chicks on the side and all this other shit, it's all going to come back to you, bro.
Eventually.
When you give your nepotism kids insane fucking amounts of money and cars, and then like, yeah, go street race, what could possibly go wrong?
Right.
Okay, and now we're there. Then your kid's in jail and you're not even smart enough as a worker to know that you're on camera, and you're exposed for saying racist things, and you want to try and do it meanwhile you were the hero to everyone. It shows that Terry Bollea is a man who is ignorant and makes foolish mistakes. Then you want to put dick in your scumbag DJ buddy's wife because they're into that, and we're all, they're sexual deviants because they lived a carny lifestyle, but you get caught and set up. Okay, and then turn around and use your nostalgia to sue for $36 million.
Yeah, you're the victim. You're the victim of all this.
That's the asinine level of America that we're at now, bro. So really, at the end of the day, people can look at Hogan as brother and USA. He's one of the most carny dirtbag workers who are a hypocrite, and all karma came back to bite him in the ass, whether it was getting his daughter a job at TNA and that sucking, you know, those guys coming over as Macho Man and Huckster being the death of WCW with high price contracts, whether it's do as I say, not as I do. And I'm secretly a closet racist who also bangs anything that'll get in my way. And now I'm supposed to be the victim and feel bad for him because he got caught doing all this. I never will. And I cut a lot of promos on this back in the day on WrestleZone that may have cost me jobs and whatnot, but I'm a man who knows what to do, the right thing, when to do it, and when there's a wrong choice in front of you and you don't take it. These guys take that wrong choice all the time, thinking it's not going to come back to get them because they're larger than life. Well, I'd rather be smaller than that and not have all those fucking headaches, bro.
Yeah, no, sure.
Where I'm on my $100,000 boat looking at my $400 million or $4 million mansion that my wife and a 22-year-old now fuck in my bed, and I can see my dogs on the lawn and I'm crying. You know what I mean? Like, that's poetic justice. I don't feel bad for them, and I don't feel bad for workers who made shitty life choices who now have to fucking reap what they sow. Live the right life out of the gate, and you don't got to worry about that kind of shit, dude.
Is there any, I don't know, I don't want to say coincidence, but I mean, like, the guys that live their gimmick like him, like Ric Flair, that did whatever they took to get on top and stay on top. And obviously they're paying for it now, but we still remember them as the greatest of all time. And
do we really? The workers, us workers, look at those guys like, even you want to go on a lower level of guys who live the gimmick and it's fucked their life. Teddy Hart is the perfect example of that. So, you know, at the end of the day, this nostalgia, the mega power, is one of the greatest draws, greatest performers, guys who are socially inept on one end, who work a certain way, but also raise this industry to a global level, a household name, both of these guys, you know, and a piece of nostalgia. We can sit here and talk about personal issues, you know, to the end of days and hold them to that. But if we're talking about Americana, Worldicana, the mega powers, that whole story will go down in wrestling is probably a top 10 in American lore. Even after America's done 500 years from now, they may be talking about the mega powers like they talk about Helen of Troy or, you know, any other great warrior. This storyline may go through and end up being 1,000 years from now, human folklore told around whatever campfire there is.
And even though, like, you know, you mentioned some things where they could have tweaked along the way, but yeah, the lasting legacy is this was a hell of a piece of business, and this was one of the greatest storylines that ever got put together on a global scale.
Emotionally and character driven wise, absolutely, man. For everybody to feel something for one of those characters. Could there have been other choices? Sure, there always is. But all in all, man, this is our childhood, and it will always be in there as part of our Shakespearean experience, bro.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I appreciate you being here, Ben. I appreciate you breaking down all this from a worker's perspective, from a perspective that I don't have. And I love sitting under a learning tree and being able to learn from guys like you and listen to Rip and Sill and too, Beast, man, and everybody. Like, there's such a great collection of collaboration of talent here with HMG that, you know, as a 30-plus year, you know, wrestling fan where I think I know a lot, I'm still learning every single day.
I was, you know, too. I was that same way before I went and paid my dues to train for 3 years. And you guys are doing it too here, paying dues, producing things and whatnot. You're getting a great A education. And as you start to hear and see things differently, even taking the basic rule of rule one, put heat on your heel, make your baby off of your heel. When we leave with babies up, when heels could have had heat, You'll start seeing that more and more and more, and it'll drive you crazy eventually.
Well, that's number one reason why I don't watch wrestling now, because because of that fact, because it's just so convoluted and ass backwards.
We'll be watching live for WrestleMania 37, you guys. Hopefully on my YouTube, maybe on Twitch, who knows? But we'll be covering it all at the Hameen Media Discussion Group. William Alessio will have a great thread up there for both nights, and we'll have the Pick'em Challenges run by JB and all of your great coverage, man. And Two Man Power Trip, another great place for education that way. So we're just so fortunate to be have such a unified group of great talent, producers, performers, and hosts to take a look at these things. And I'm thankful to be doing it, man, especially with you, Rad Rob. I appreciate it.
You got it, buddy, anytime. And, you know, next year, Radmania 4, God willing, we're still together.
Yeah.
We'll come back for another topic and we'll break it down.
I look forward to it, brother. Rad Rob, you guys, get your turtles and let's get to WrestleMania. HackerHameen.podbean.com back up and thriving. TheBroasters.com for Vince Russo Bro Coffee. And as always, ProWrestlingTees.com/BenHameen Infidels. Robbie, give me one, baby. Come on, brother. On the other side. Oh, good stuff, dude.
Thanks again for listening to this episode. You can follow RTW on Twitter at RadTurtlesPod, and you can email the show at RadTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com. We appreciate all of your support. You've been listening to RTW Rewind.